Welcome to Life Lessons in Unexpected Places. The world is full of teachers if you know how to look and listen. With Asha Nayaswamy, one of the spiritual directors of Ananda Palo Alto and a founding member of Ananda Worldwide. If you enjoy this content and are inspired by the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda and his disciple Swami Kriyananda, find Asha on YouTube, Facebook, Patreon, all podcast directories, and her website, ashajoy.org.
Release your inner happiness. Be a divine lark. Sing not to impress others, nor to gain anything from them, but for the sheer delight of singing. Now, the title of this one is also a really important key to what it means. Release your inner happiness. And there's a tremendous implication of spiritual truth in that simple statement that is very necessary for us to... Sometimes the simplest statement actually holds the greatest potential for expanding our awareness. The premise of releasing your inner happiness is that it's there to be released. And the reason that we're not experiencing it is because we're inhibited by things that have happened to us, from fears that we've experienced, from concern about how the world will receive us, from traumatic experiences. It can go on and on. And releasing it means we're confining it. We're not allowing ourselves to experience. We're not letting it be free. And quite apart, you know, experiencing it within ourselves. And then the advice, be like the birds and sing like the birds sing. The way the birds move through the heavens, they're talking to each other, but they're also just, at least the feeling that the human being projects upon the bird, is they're just singing for the sheer joy of the fact that they can. Here's something that's very interesting. This is being recorded in October of 2020, and this is the year that a global pandemic changed the lifestyle for many people in many areas. And one of the exceedingly interesting side effects, I mean, there were many side effects of the sudden diminution of human activity, especially in congested urban areas. There have been different waves of society shutting itself down or opening itself up in different places at different times. But there have been times when activity in urban areas just dropped, you know, to a fraction of what it had been before. Traffic, noise, construction, people, all of the things that are humanly created that create its own vibrations. And one of the things that happened was the ornithologists, if that's the right word, those who study birds, have noticed that the bird song of urban birds began to resemble more closely the bird song of the same species in rural areas. And it was a matter of subtlety, that there were many subtle nuances to bird song that you could hear in quiet rural areas that you never heard in urban areas until urban areas became quiet. Now, I don't know to what extent the people studying the birds are anthropomorphizing, but they said, birdsong in urban areas in normal times is the equivalent of the birds having to shout to be heard. And the nuance that they could put into a normal conversation, they weren't able to do. But when it got quieter, their songs became more complex and more interesting and more nuanced. Now, it's just so, like, there's so much going on in this world that we don't know about. So, in this instance, Swamiji is using the image of a lark. I'm not even sure that larks actually sing that well, but the idea of a lark is synonymous with a free singing bird who's just giving his song to the world. And yes, I'm sure we can find biological reasons, but also one gets the impression that the bird just sings because he can. It's dawn. He welcomes the sunrise. It's dusk. He welcomes the night. He's, you know, he sees his mate, he sees his children, he sees the worm, whatever it might be. But he expresses it through the melody that the birds can give. And the image, at least, gives us that sense of freedom. In fact, Swami Kriyananda wrote a song about different aspects of nature to sort of teach us to draw from the natural world lessons that are relevant for our human experience. And the poem for the verse for the birds, birds sing of freedom as birds sing of freedom as they soar lightly on the air. So may our hearts sing high above all curbs and care. Swamiji made the very interesting statement that everything in this world is symbolic of a higher truth. It, when you have the whole understanding of Sanatana Dharma, of the ancient spiritual truths that underlie all religions, which all are built upon the same one truth, we understand that this world is manifested from a higher state of consciousness. And everything here is here so that through our experience of it, we can become aware of a more subtle truth. So when Swamiji is saying the birds sing of freedom, and they remind us what is possible for us, the bird song itself is the example that Swamiji is using here, the image he's using here. The bird song itself, the birds don't calculate, they don't study, they don't have teachers, they don't have to try out for the symphony. It's every bird simply sings because it's the nature of the bird to sing. So with that feeling, and this is what the purpose of these images are intended to do, is with that feeling, it gives us an idea of how we might feel. It's not how we do feel necessarily, but it's showing us a possible way that we might feel. If we can attune ourselves not just to being a bird, we don't have to become feathery, you know, we don't have to have a beak, we don't have to hop from place to place. But the bird represents, in all of creation, it represents a certain kind of consciousness. And that consciousness is completely unself-conscious in the best possible way. It's not self-concerned in the way that human beings, with our highly more developed egos, become exceedingly self-concerned. Will I look silly? Will other people not like me? I dare not open myself to that extent because someone might hurt me. Just all the different things that cause us to worry all the time about my place in the universe. The bird just has its place in the universe. It sings because it's its nature to sing, and it has no agenda when it sings. So Swami is trying to get us to tune in vibrationally to the idea. I mean, that's what this whole series is about. We take a concrete image, and we have an abstract principle, and then we tie it to a concrete image. And it's not so much even the details of whether that image is exactly accurate, but it presents for us a feeling way to understand what's being asked of us. Release your inner happiness. Sing the way the lark sings. And so that's what he's trying to get us to feel. If I were as free as that bird, and if I were able just to open my mouth and sing whatever song it is that God has through me, what has to pass through me, intends to pass through me, what would that feel like? And sometimes when we can grasp the concept, not even especially on an intellectual level, but on a feeling level, what would that feel like to be that free? And that gives us a way to practice. And what Swamiji is also promising here by saying, release your inner happiness, is that the core of all of us, and this is a profound truth taught by almost every spiritual tradition and every true spiritual tradition, is that we are deep within ourselves, we are the solid gold, the solid, untainted, pure gold of divinity. And the nature of that divinity, God is love, God is joy, God is peace, God is freedom, all of those qualities. And when we go deeply enough and are able to put aside, to transcend, you know, in prayer, in meditation, in music, in the silence of nature, sometimes even in the tremendous exhilaration of physical exertion, you know, riding a bicycle through a beautiful countryside, going on a long run and getting that flow of energy moving through us, or a transcendent moment in human life when you meet the love of your life and realize, you know, who you're meeting and what the implications of that are going to be, or when your child is born, your baby is born, and that you finally meet your baby and he or she is put into your arms for the first time. There's a transcendence that makes everything else that happened just seem so small and unimportant. And the power of that, what happens? It releases our inner happiness. And we may think it's because of the baby or the love of our life or the extraordinary redwood tree where we're nestled in its roots, whatever it might be. But the experience we're having is actually inside ourselves, isn't it? It's not that we've suddenly moved outside and are something that we weren't. It's inside of us. But something has happened that is strong enough to cause us to not hold back that flow anymore. And the reason those moments are given to us is so that we can understand our true potential. When I was a very young devotee and I was living in the Ananda community, which is now called Ananda Village, it was much more simple and smaller and less developed at that point, I had this interesting karma, which is there were two women in my life that I associated with almost on a daily basis. Our sphere of activity overlapped greatly. Both of them were dear sisters to me, I have to say that. But one of them I got along with effortlessly, and the other one we were just always having personality clashes. We just had very different ways of approaching things. And there was some past karma where we hadn't been so nice to each other, and we were meeting again to resolve that. So there was an inclination toward disharmony and negativity on one side and an effortless unity of hearts on the other. Now, one of the principles of yoga that I was learning was to be even-minded, to not allow ourselves to be tossed about on the waves of ever-changing feeling. And I was tossed about between my responses to these two women with whom I associated a great deal. Two dear sisters, I have to say that, because we can love people and still not get along with them all that easily. So I had this idea, and my only excuse is that I was very, very young in these teachings. And so I was expressing to Swamiji that since the whole point was supposed to be even-minded, and part of the problem was that there was such an incredible contrast between these two people I associated with all the time, that maybe if I loved one of them that I got along with, if I just withdrew my heart a little bit and didn't love her quite so much, then the contrast with the one that I didn't like would be less, and somehow that would be the way to get to the center. Swamiji was very, very seldom, he very seldom said things like I'm about to say to me, only a few times in my life. And he said it strongly, but with a twinkle in his eye. He said, "That is the stupidest idea I've ever heard." Which I loved. I just loved it. It was no malice. He was just trying to help me. And it was the stupidest idea he'd ever heard. He said that kind of effortless loving happiness, which is what I felt with one of those women, that kind of effortless joy is meant to show us what we're capable of. And so we don't want to bring the top down. We want to bring the bottom up. The magnificent of true romantic love, the magnificence of true friendship, the magnificence of the self-sacrificing, spontaneous self-sacrificing love that a parent feels for its newborn child. That's to show us what happens when we release our inner happiness. When we're no longer self-concerned, when we're no longer thinking about what other people think, what I can get from them, where I stand in this world, if I sing this way, then I'll get this, I'll get that. We sing, because it's our nature to do so, because this is the way I'm made. And the more deeply we can live in that feeling, you know, whether we actually sing or not, is less important, because sing also means just be ourselves. Let our happiness radiate outward as a service to the world. Wherever you go, you always have the opportunity, what am I going to give to the world around me? What am I going to give to the people around me? And the bird just finds a tree and begins to sing because it's its nature to do so. And ideally, and this is what the image is trying to give to us, we should just move through the world singing, releasing our inner happiness and offering that, even in silence. It doesn't have to have a sound associated with it, but to offer, release that inner happiness and offer it as a gift to the world. You'll be astonished, one, by the way it shifts your own consciousness, and two, by the beautiful magnetic field of happiness that it will create all around you. So consider this advice. Release your inner happiness. Be a divine lark. Sing not to impress others nor to gain anything from them, but for the sheer delight of singing.
Our work is made possible by inspired listeners, so if you feel to support ASHA, you can make a one-time donation, or for unique members-only content, subscribe through Patreon. Blessings, and thank you.